There's a particular small book that I have bought and given to more people than any other book. And no, it's not by Marcus Borg. It's this book. It's by John O'Donohue, who was an Irish priest, who eventually left the priesthood, became a philosopher, and had a really deep sense of Celtic spirituality. And this book seems to have caught the soul of some of the people that I've shared it with. It's called To Bless the Space Between Us, a book of blessings. John O'Donohue was an amazing man, died well before his time. And this is one of the pieces of his legacy that I really have a deep appreciation for. You know, one person heard me use one of these blessings. There's one, it's a blessing on passing a graveyard. And it's a blessing that I offer anytime I inter somebody's ashes, or if I'm doing a burial out at a cemetery, I use that. And they heard that blessing and they were so touched by it that they engraved it on a stone out at the entrance to our memorial garden. So here's what O'Donohue writes about the act of blessing. I mean, think about it. When do we bless people? When they sneeze, right? There's more to it than that. He writes about blessing as an act. In the parched deserts of postmodernity, a blessing can be like a discovery of a fresh well. It would be lovely if we could rediscover our power to bless one another. I believe each of us can bless. When a blessing is invoked, it changes the atmosphere. Some of the plenitude flows into the hearts from the invisible neighborhood of loving kindness. In the light and reverence of a blessing, a person or situation becomes illuminated in a completely new way. And so today you heard Ross read the words of Jesus opening the Sermon on the Mount with a cycle of blessings. It's interesting because, you know, Brooklyn, the translation that she read was happy are those, and the translation that Ross read is blessed. So beatitude comes, word nerd warning here, sorry. It comes from a Latin word, beatus, which means blessed, but that's a translation of a Greek word, makarios, which means happy or blessed. So, sorry, I went off manuscript, and that's what happens. So Jesus, when he offers those blessings, he changes the atmosphere. He allows light and reverence to stream into the souls of all of his hearers, resulting in spiritual illumination. And this passage has continued to illuminate the followers of Jesus for the ensuing 2,000 years. In fact, many Christians consider the Beatitudes or the blessings as the very heart of the gospel, rendering what living life as a Christian entails. You know, I read sort of a funny, tragic blurb from NPR a few days ago. Russell Moore, an evangelical leader, reports that multiple pastors tell me essentially the same story about quoting Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, having someone come up after and say, "Where did you get all those liberal talking points?" And he says, and what is alarming to me is that in most of these scenarios, when the pastor would say, "I'm literally quoting Jesus Christ," the response would be, "Yes, but that doesn't work anymore. That's weak." Wow. Sometimes, perhaps often, Jesus's message tends to clash with what some of what Americans have come to believe as gospel truth. And it isn't just Christian nationalists, it's us too. The Beatitudes are blessing the weaklings, the underdogs, the losers. That's who Jesus blesses. And it's probably who we should include as we attempt to bless others as well. And it is reassuring to know that when we find ourselves depressed, anxious, grief-laden, running on empty, that Jesus blesses us too. You know, it's hard in our day just to be, just to exist, just to find moments of inner peace. Rampant suicide, mass shootings, and violent responses to anybody who looks like they are other are becoming de rigueur in our society and in the media. There's so much noise from the 24-hour news cycle, from social media, from the conflict-inducing voices of Fox News and MSNBC. American political discourse today is characterized by conflict that generates copious amounts of heat and almost no light. I was meeting with my therapist a few weeks ago. I went in for a little tune-up. And she commented that anger is the new American drug of choice. Think about that for a moment. Think about how our culture has changed just in the few years since the beginning of the pandemic. Think about that. Think about how you yourself have changed in the years since before the pandemic. Anger is the new American drug of choice. Of course, anger doesn't stop at our borders. The rise of neo-fascism at home and abroad has been very clear in the last 5 years. And the explosive violence in Israel and Gaza is polarizing and hate-inducing far beyond the Middle East. Look what's happening on college campuses around the country. It made me think that maybe the whole world needs a timeout. But since that would be difficult to accomplish, I'm going to invite you into a brief moment of respite. I'd like to read you my favorite blessing from John O'Donohue. And it contains an unfamiliar Irish word, curragh. And a curragh is a small skin wood-framed boat. So that will help with when you hear it in context. So I invite you to close your eyes if you wish. Relax your shoulder and neck muscles. Feel the weight of your body and the seat. And just breathe. On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders, and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the gray window and the ghost of loss gets into you, may a flock of colors, indigo, red, green, and azure blue, come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. When the canvas frays in the curragh of thought, and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow moonlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of the earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the ocean be yours. May the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mind your life. Blessing can be soul restoring, and I hope you have a sense of that right now. And know that you can come back to that place of quietness, of stillness, and contemplation. You can do that whenever you need to. You know, as I was thinking about this sermon, I was rolling around the idea that we need a few new beatitudes for the times we live in and the challenges that we face in the world today. And I came up with a pretty long list, but you'll be relieved to know that there are only three that I'm going to share with you today. So three new blessings for our times. Blessed are you when you refuse to use violence as a means of addressing another's violence. Gandhi said, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind, and we can see where the Israeli-Gaza war is leading. Last week, New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof wrote about the myths that are fueling this war. He writes, the first myth is that the conflict in the Middle East, there is a right side and a wrong side, even if people disagree about which is which. He says, life isn't that neat. The tragedy of the Middle East is that this is a clash of right versus right. That doesn't excuse Hamas's massacre and savagery or Israel's leveling of entire neighborhoods and hospitals in Gaza. But underlying the conflict are certain legitimate aspirations that deserve to be fulfilled. Nonviolence on the macro scale can also be used on the personal level. When we disagree with someone, we can get together with them and discuss things in a calm, adult manner that doesn't demonize anyone. We don't have to be oppositional, passive aggressive, or engage in name calling. We can speak the truth in love. A second beatitude. Blessed are you when you leave self-interest behind in order to serve others and build community. We don't live in a vacuum. We live in a society. This comes as news to many Americans because we are raised to be self-reliant, self-assured, and self-centered. Our culture is diminished by a lack of civic engagement. This is not new. This has been happening for 50 years. And it's also being diminished by our unwillingness to look at the good of the whole rather than to look narrowly at just our self-interest. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. John Donne wrote that in 1624 and we visualized it anew when the astronaut sent back pictures of the Earth from space, and we saw that all of us share this small blue marble. We are all in this together. Thinking more of we and less of me is a blessing we can live by each day. A third beatitude. Blessed are you when you build bridges instead of building walls. The metaphor has become too close to literal truth on the southern border of the United States. If we say build a wall, it may be on the border, or it may be around a gated community, or it may be in our hearts. It may be a way of excluding those who are somehow different than we are, we think. And interpersonally, stonewalling is a way of keeping progress from happening by cutting off improvement and communication. People who are more interested in finding solutions than harboring resentments build bridges, not walls. They engage with others in order to advance a solution rather than simply withholding forward movement. Now, maybe you've seen that in a personal or a working relationship, and it's poisonous. It's poisonous to a culture and to the people who form that culture. So those are my three beatitudes for you this day, and I offer them to you as a blessing. So as you come forward this morning and you receive communion, I invite you to think about what beatitude you might offer. What blessing do you have to offer the world? Amen.